in on the anointing. If you think about it, it's kind of like this is the best way I could explain it. It helps me to understand it. The anointing is kind of like a well. Anybody ever drawed water out of a well? I know Granny and Papa, we used to stay with them quite a bit sometimes when we was kids, and they'd run out of water a lot. Well, they had this well out there in the front yard and had this big, long silver thing that was on a rope, and we'd let it down in there and had this little thing that you would do like this, and it would catch the water, and you would draw it up. Faith is that little, do y'all know what you call that little thing? We'll just call it a bucket. That'll work, won't it? A bucket or whatever is what your faith is, like the bucket that you put down in that well and you let it fill up and then you draw it out. Why? Because the anointing has everything that you need in it. But it takes faith to draw it out. Now, we looked at, if y'all will remember, before Monty did Sunday school last week, we was looking at some things where Jesus was sent to people. And one of the ways, it doesn't necessarily say he was sent to them, but we know that he said, I never say anything unless I hear my Father say it. I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. And we know that he was anointed, right, by the Holy Spirit. So it was the Holy Spirit that was telling him and showing him, right, at the same time, just like he does me and you today. So that's how we know that when he went to that guy, what was it, Bethesda's pool? That he went over there to the crippled guy and he asked him, he said, do you want to be made whole? Y'all remember that? The Bible says there was a great multitude of sick folk laid there. He only went to him. Jesus did nothing of himself. He said, it's the Father in me that does the work, right? So we know just by that one alone, which you need at least two or three, by that one alone, that Jesus went to him because he was sent. He was led by the Holy Spirit, right? And he went to him, and sure enough, he got healed. Well, then the ones I think we left off with was the blind man, you know, that he spit and he made mud. He put it in his eyes and told him to go wash, and he was healed, right? He come back seeing. Then the other guy, you know, he didn't make no mud. He just talked to a spit right in his eyeballs. Well, the reason why he did that way is because that's how the Holy Spirit told him to do it. Just like there'll be some people, you don't got to anoint them with oil. But there'll be others, you can just speak the word like the centurion. Then there's others, you got to anoint them with oil. Why? Because their faith is there with you anointing them in oil. Others, you got to lay hands on them. Why? Because that's where their faith is at, how they're going to receive. And we're going to be talking about some of that today. Not the ones that Jesus was sent to, but the ones that put a demand on that anointing that was in him and upon him. So I'm going to say some things here. I don't want to read all this, but y'all remember Jesus was baptized in water by John. Y'all remember that? I believe it was at the River Jordan. Well, the Bible says it's in, I'll tell you where it's at, Matthew 3, 13 through 17, Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 13, John 1, 29 through 34, and Luke 3, 21 through 23. Now, each one of these, it's recorded some way or another about this. Every one of them doesn't say the exact same. And I said that for your study later. I don't have time to read all that and go through all that. There's a reason it's called Sunday school, right? There's homework at school. So everybody should be doing their own homework. But anyway, in each one of these, it gives some kind of degree about what happened whenever Jesus came. The Bible says that Jesus came and he was anointed in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, but then he was also anointed by someone else. Y'all remember? Let's read it. Here in Luke chapter 3, we're going to start, for time's sake, in verse 21, and I'm going to read this in the King James Version. It says, now, excuse me. It says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. Now John is the one that saw all this happen. It says, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now the Amplified Bible verse 23 says this, Jesus himself, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, we know he wasn't, of Joseph, the son of Heli, which they didn't know that at the time. But notice what it said. He was anointed in water. Now, Jesus did not have to be born again. Right? He was born into the earth sinless. Right? Because God was his Father. The seed came in Mary and he was birthed. Right? So therefore, he did not have to be born again. Me and you have to be born again. That's one. All right? But Jesus did have to be baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why? He stripped himself of all power, might, dominion, glory, everything, right? And came down here in the earth, born sinless, but came and walked the earth as a mere human being, right? Without any special benefits or anything. Just like us, right? To show us how we do this. So the Bible says, when he was baptized in water and he came up, the Holy Ghost descended upon him, right? In the form of a dove, something that John could see in the Spirit. Now, don't say everybody saw it. I know one place it says that whenever God spoke, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," some, John heard the words, some thought it thundered, and some heard nothing. That actually depends on the degree of your heart. But anyway, we can't get into all that. Now, okay, here he's baptized in the River Jordan in water. He's baptized with the Holy Ghost, right? And it's, notice what it says. Doesn't say the Holy Ghost came in him. We get born again. Jesus told the disciples, he said, that he was going to ascend to the Father. He said, if I ascend to the Father, he said, I'll send back the Comforter and he'll be where? Y'all remember the scriptures? In you. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit, the Anointed One, comes in you to live there, to abide. The Bible says, I believe it's over in 1 John, it says that anointing teaches you all things, right? That's for you. In you. But now there is an anointing, the Holy Ghost, like came on Jesus. He's for power. Oh, we're getting quiet. Oh, we're going to shout in a little while, though. Now, look over here. Let's see. Oh, I think I wanted to go to Acts first. You can hold your place here in Luke 4. We're going to come back to Luke 4 here in just a minute. But I got to read this over here in Acts because we got to see it right quick. Acts chapter 10. Probably every one of us could quote it. Now, this was after the baptism of the disciples in the Holy Ghost. And Peter stood up and he started preaching. Now, verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and what? Y'all reading it? Well, that's the Amplified. I'm going to read that in just a minute. Now, when did he do this? Y'all track with me, okay? I'm trying to get somewhere, but this is foundation. We got to get this first. When did he get anointed with this Holy Ghost and power? You got it, Johnny. What we just got through reading, it says John baptized him in the River Jordan. He came up and the Holy Ghost came down, right? Came down and rested upon. Y'all get that? That's important. Because see, he told him, he said, the Holy Ghost will come in you, the Comforter, in you. That's your born again experience. The Holy Ghost will come in you. But then there's a total separate experience that Jesus himself had. Because see, up to this point, how much had he done miracle-wise, Sandy? Why? He can't, Johnny. He came in the form as a man. Just how many miracles can you perform, Sandy, by yourself? How many can you, Johnny? Nobody can. And see, he could not either. But see, it says here, let me read it. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Verse 38 over here in the Amplified. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How he went about doing good and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. Now go back over to Luke 4. So we see what happened to him when he was baptized in the River Jordan and he came up. The Holy Ghost descended on him in the form of a dove, and he never lifted. And it says there in verse 10:38, it says how God anointed him. Not came in him. He didn't need him to come in him. Me and you, we get born again. He comes in every born-again believer. right? In you. But see, he didn't come in Jesus. He came upon him. Right? And he anointed him, notice, with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, see, you get the Holy Spirit when you get born again, right? The same Spirit of Christ abides within you that raised Jesus from the dead abides within you. But then there's a separate Spirit where he comes upon. This is an anointing for service with power. All right, now, right after he was baptized in the River Jordan with water and with the Holy Ghost and with power, we're going to read. I got to turn this fan off. Now, let's look here in, Luke 4. Just for time's sake, we know what happened here. The Bible talks about how that, let me make sure that's right. Oh, I'm in Mark 4. That's why it ain't looking right. I thought, what in the world? I want Luke 4. He's good, amen? All the time. There's no one no better. And if you're good, it's because he's in you. It's what Jesus said. Now, he's baptized in the River Jordan. He's baptized in the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, it says here in verse 1, immediately after this, the Holy Ghost, he was led by the Holy Spirit, right? Don't say anything about him being led by the Holy Spirit before now, right? Okay, this says here in verse 1, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, right? I ain't got time to read all this. I got to get to what's below it. So we know he went through all the temptations. He never sinned and all that. And we're going to pick this up here in verse, 12? Yeah. How do I got that? That's King James. All right, verse 12. And Jesus answering, and he's talking about to the devil, this is when he was tempted. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Notice this. And Jesus returned how? Where to get this power? From the Spirit. When he was anointed by the Holy Ghost and power, right? Then he went through all the temptations, and it says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Now let me read that verse in the Amplified. Then Jesus went back full of and under the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee, and the fame of him spread through the whole region round about. Then he started preaching, teaching in their synagogues, and I want to pick this up for time's sake in, did I write that down? Let me just go on to verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Now remember, this is where he lived. Now, he's coming, and he's fixing to tell them some things they never thought of. He's your brother, Sandy. He's not your Lord. He's not your Savior. He's your brother. Do you get where I'm going with this? He's your son. He's your daughter. Do you get what I'm saying? He's coming to his own hometown where everybody knows him. We played ball with him. We was over there, you know, when he did this or this or this or this, and it wasn't no miracles, Johnny. Let's read it. He came to Nazareth, and as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. We know he did this all of his life, right? I mean, he's 13 years old, and he didn't go with the caravan. So this is not anything new. Jesus went to church, you could say, but it's the synagogue here. So he ain't doing nothing out of the ordinary. On the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, notice what it says. They didn't give this, they gave him a book. The book of Isaiah. There's what, 60-something chapters in the book of Isaiah, Monty? Yeah. But he didn't read all 60, or how many ever. He found one. It says, and he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then the Bible says he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then he began to bear him witness, and he began to say some other things that quite didn't sit well with the Pharisees and the rest of the people and all of that. And we're going to pick it up for time's sake. I don't have time to read all that. And we're going to pick it up in 24. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Why is that? Because of the very thing I just said. We know you. Ain't you Joseph's son? See, they had no way of knowing Joseph's not really his father. But Johnny, if they would have believed what he said. Let's go on with this. I can't stop. I've run out of time here. It goes on, and he talks about Naaman and all of that. We're going to pick it up in 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were what? Filled with wrath. Anger. How dare you? Blasphemy. Who do you think you are, Monty? But Sandy, he knew who he was. Let's go on here. He goes on and it says, and all them were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headless. They're going to throw him off the cliff. All he done was he was led by the Holy Ghost, right? Because he's been anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And all he's doing is coming, telling them who I am. Believe in him, receive it, or reject it. And I mean, it made them so mad, they're going to kill him. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Let's see, I think I had another verse here I wanted to read. When I read that verse 30, but he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, you know what that makes me think of? Not today, devil. They couldn't do it, Johnny. He's got an anointing, and he must fulfill that calling. Didn't make them try to keep them from trying to stop him. Let's see. It says, verse 31 in the Amplified, and he descended to Capernaum, a town of Galilee, and there he continued to teach. Now notice what he's doing. Faith comes how? What'd they hear? Okay. Specific. What did they hear? They heard, I have been anointed with the Holy Ghost, right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what they heard, not? Is it right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. You could say, he could have said it, with the Holy Ghost and power. But he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Right? And recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what they heard. Faith comes how? By hearing. All they had to do was believe this. Why? Because it was the anointed Christos word of the Lord for that moment. All they had to do was believe it, but they would not. A lot of them didn't. But there was some that they did. Can you imagine the commotion, Johnny, this was stirring up? You've got all your Pharisees, Sadducees, all the scribes, all of them out there. Then you've got other people. I mean, you got them out there on this mountain, and they're going to try to throw him down. Can you imagine the crowds and the people that was coming out that heard? Some believed what he said. He didn't say, I'm the Son of God. I can do miracles, believe me. All he done was got up and read this scripture, and it was anointed. And there was some that they believed, and there was some that they was not. And it says here that he continued to teach the people on the Sabbath days, and they were amazed at his teaching. Notice this, for his word was with authority and ability and weight and power. Then the next thing you know, the very next verses, he's casting out a devil. Why was his words with authority and power and ability? You got it. Because that Holy Ghost and power had come on him and anointed him to do these things. And when he said them, he wasn't saying them of his own. He was saying them by the Spirit of God, and there was an anointing, a power, authority, ability, and might to do them. Now, let's go over to, let's see where I want to go now. Now, Romans 10, 14 through 17, I'm not going to turn over there and read that. We can all quote the scripture probably, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Go back up. It says, how can they hear without a preacher? You can't. How can he preach with the Christos, the anointed Word of God, unless he's sent? See, they some just went. But there's some that they're sent. It says, how can he preach lest he's sent? How can they hear without a preacher? And then it says, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Right? Let's see. Let's go over to... let me look at it right quick. I think I want to go to Acts chapter 1. Glory to God. Yeah, let's go to Acts chapter 1. Now, I'm going to skip a lot for time's sake, but I want to pick this up in verse 4. I'm going to read that in the King James. It says, and being assembled together with them. Now, this is after Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected. He's back with them. It says, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Notice this. But wait from the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. This is not born again. Jesus has already been crucified, buried, and resurrected, and they have believed on him. Now he's telling them, y'all, now we know, we went over that and over that. At one point, they were 70 disciples, right? They was 12 disciples, so we counted them 83 at least, counting Jesus. And we know there was multitudes. But history says there was about 500-something people that went up to this upper room. But only about 120 stayed. Now he's telling them, he says, for you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they, therefore, were come together and asked of him, talking about when the time is coming for him to come or whatever, it says, and he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times of the seasons, which the Father's put in his own. But notice verse 8, but you shall receive what? Power. Don't just say that. Power. Power. Woo, glory to God. See, the Bible says over there that he gave us power to become the sons of God. I wish they had did a little better translating the Bible sometimes. That word power, go study it for yourself, where it says he gave us power to become the sons of God, it means privilege and authority. That's good. I'm adopted. But when you get to this word power, it's a total different word when you look it up. This word does not mean authority and privilege. This word is power, ability, might, strength. Totally different thing. Because this is the same Holy Ghost and power that Jesus himself was anointed with. And he told him, he said, go over there and stay in Jerusalem, verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon. That's a crucial thing. He didn't say in you. Holy Ghost is already in them. They're born again. Holy Ghost don't come upon a vessel that's not yet been born again. But he says here, he shall come upon you, and you shall what? Be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 8 in the Amplified. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might with the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and all of that. Now, he's not talking about, glory to God, you're going to do like some of them and go door to door and witness for Jesus. Y'all remember whenever after this had happened, and I think it was Peter and John, they got in trouble because they was doing miracles. Healed that guy over there, I believe, at the gates while they got in trouble. Y'all remember they got thrown in jail and they told him, said, you can't preach no more in this name? The Bible says they was ignorant. They perceived they was ignorant and unlearned men. It says, but they could tell they had been with Jesus, Sandy. How could they tell they'd been? They're just like their master. They're saying the same things he said. They're doing the same things he done. Why? Because now they have been anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. The same Holy Ghost doing the same power that he did on Jesus and through Jesus, right? He's doing it in and through them. They don't know nothing. They've not been to seminary. They wasn't Pharisees of the law like the Apostle Paul. Don't let this get in your way, because it's not about what's up here. It's about what's in here. Sometimes this up here, your head knowledge can hinder you from the Spirit. But he told him there, he said he's going to anoint you with the Holy Ghost and power. He says, and then you're going to be my witnesses. That's what he's talking about, Johnny. Whenever they was over there, their life was a witness to the power and testimony of God. Not we're going to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm telling you that people have dulled the church down and the church has been despised. What I mean by that, the word despised in the Bible means thought very little of. Not for much longer, Richard. We're going back to the book of Acts. We're going to get rid of all this crappy unbelief and all, and they're going to know we've been with Jesus. Why? Because we are anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, doing the same works he done, and even greater, Jesus said himself. Let's go over here to, I got to read this here. I'm going to try to do this quickly. Now he told them, go tarry in Jerusalem. They all went in an upper room. They stayed there, about 120 of them, they say, or whatever. And they stayed up there, one heart, one mind, one accord, right? Chapter 2 over here. In verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all within one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It did what? Didn't come in them. He sat on them. Let's just say, is my time up? Anyway, it says he sat upon him. What did he do to Jesus? He came on him. Now they've been born again. He told them to go wait. Now the Holy Ghost has fallen and coming on them, right?
And it says here that whenever that happened, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance there. You might say, I don't know what them tongues is for. Tongues is the evidence. The Holy Ghost don't come and sit upon you without you speaking other tongues. He gives voice to your spirit. Oh, y'all way too quiet. But see, he didn't come to give them tongues. What did he say he come for?
Power. The tongues just comes along with it. They're just a gateway to unlock those mysteries that we don't know nothing about, that the Bible says in 13 that we can pray about. Amen. But it says there that the Holy Ghost sat upon each one of them and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And listen, and not only that, I'm not going to take the time to read this, y'all can. But evidently, Sandy, there was some of them just staggering around. Y'all ever just been to the bar or stood outside the bar or something other, seen people? Well, that's what I'm saying right now. They're just staggering around like they're not. These people are doing this. These other people out here are seeing something. They're seeing the Holy Ghost in power, but they don't know who or what this is. Because it says, these people's drunk. You only stagger around if you're drunk. And Peter, he said, they ain't drunk is what you think. And I mean, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. We really ain't had time to be nipping the bottle enough to be drunk. Now, I'm paraphrasing. But that's pretty much basically what it says there. I mean, it's about 9 o'clock in the morning. These people are speaking with an unknown tongue that they don't know what they're saying. But the Bible says there was Medes and Persians and all these different kind of people. And they said, how do we hear them in our own language? It's unknown to the speaker, but to the hearer, they was praising and giving glory to God. It's by faith. So Peter gets up and he begins to preach. In that day, the Bible said, now Peter's preached before, and I've never read where it said anything like this before. But Peter got up there and he began to preach. And notice what he said. He tells them what this is. It says, verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, this was the last days, right? It was prophesied, it was going to come, it was going to happen in the last days. Now listen, we have been in the last days ever since this reading right here. And you might say, well, it's been over 2,000. Listen, the Bible says one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. He goes on and he says, this is what was spoke about or prophesied about Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon who? 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 In the days that we're in, God's going to pour his spirit out and he's going to use any born-again believer that will believe him. Now notice what he says. He says, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And then he goes on and telling them, you know, he's going to do wonders and blood and all this kind of stuff. And then it's verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, he says, shall be saved. We have been in these days ever since then. But the devil and unbelieving people has just dulled the gospel down to where it has no power. And God says, I'm bringing it back. I'm here to tell you this morning that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me, Sandy, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. And to set at liberty them that are bruised, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord our God, the year of his favor. If you will believe that about me, you will have it. If you don't believe it, you won't. See, I didn't say anything that Jesus himself didn't just say. I mean, he didn't say at that time. But now I believe the Lord has spoken that to me, and if you will believe it and receive it, there's nothing God can and won't do. Why? Because your faith will draw it out. Let's look at this, because I can't run out of time before I get to this. Let's go over to John chapter 2. Glory to God. Hallelujah. John chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read this in the King James. It says, "In the third day," excuse me, "there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they had wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee?" Notice what he says. "My hour has not come yet." Now, Jesus knows when his hour comes, he's going to have to start doing these miracles. And all this stuff that he just said was upon him, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to do, right? Okay. He says, "My hour has not yet come." His mother didn't say nothing else to him. She looked at his servants and said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them to the brim. Now I thought he said, "My time ain't come yet, woman." Remember the title. Faith puts a demand on the anointing. He tells her, "What's that to me? My time ain't come yet." In other words, I can't be showing out right now. Because once I start showing out, I can't go everywhere and preach. Because you're going to have all these people. That's why he would tell them when he would heal them, "Don't tell nobody." Y'all get it? Don't tell nobody. I'm telling you right now, they're coming here from the north, the south, the east, the west, and we're not even going to be able to get in here. And great persecution is coming. You don't do all that, Sandy, and have the power of God and him moving and the glory without people that don't understand, people that's in unbelief, that you're going to be persecuted because of it. That's all right. But she told him, "Whatever he says do, just do it." Her faith has put a demand on the anointing that she believed was in him and on him. Did it not? Or am I making this up? He tells her, "My time ain't yet." She looks at them. Don't even say anything. "Whatever he says, just do it." So he tells them to go fill them water pots up. And they go and they do that. And he said unto them, "Okay, now draw it out." Can you imagine this? Just look, see it in your mind. Think with me what the scripture says. You got water pots here that hold water. We need wine. We go and we fill up these water pots because Jesus said to, and his mama said, "Whatever he says do, just do it." So now we did. Now he's telling me, "You can get in trouble for this, Sandy. Talked about, ridiculed. Are you serious? Water? We want wine." They're halfway drunk. "Wine, wine, 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 wine." Drunks don't care. They want more and more, don't they? Till they just can't take no more. One way or another. And now he's telling you, "Sandy, get over there, get the dipper, dip this out into a cup or whatever they put it in, and you go out there and you take it to the head honcho over there. You're going to have to do that by faith." See, her anointing, her faith put a demand on that anointing in it. Then by faith, they have to obey whatever he said. They did. Let's look what happened. It goes on here. "Now draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast," and they bear it. "When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said, Every man at the beginning does set forth the good wine. And when men have well drunk, halfway drunk or whatever, then that which is worse," don't taste as good, "but thou hast kept the good wine until now." And it goes on and says, this was the beginning of the miracles that Jesus did. Why did he do it? Holy Spirit didn't lead him. Remember, we read those. We done went over some of those where he was led by the Spirit of God to do these things. Now, Mary's faith is putting a demand on the anointing that she believes is on him. And he has to do it. Why? Because faith is the thing, the bucket that you draw the anointing out with. Let's look at some more before I run out of time here. I got just 10 minutes maybe. Let's see here. Matthew chapter 9, I think. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to start reading in verse 18, I think. Yeah. It says here, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, see that guy, that fame went out about him. All them healings he's doing, all that preaching and teaching with authority, now he's being crowded. It says, saw the great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have hold, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Skip on down. I don't want to start right there. I don't think it's the right place. Hang on just a second. No, I'm in chapter 8. Why didn't y'all tell me? Y'all didn't know it either? sorry. But Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. I knew that wasn't right. While he spake these things unto him, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. This man believes in the anointing that's on Jesus, don't he? He does. And his faith is, Jesus, if you'll come lay your hands on her, right? So that's what Jesus has to do, because that's the demand. He's got to come. The faith is putting a demand on that anointing, and this is what I'm believing, right? So he tells him. He says, Behold, the ruler, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. What'd Jesus do? I ain't got time for you right now, Jairus. I'm on my way somewhere. Doesn't say the Holy Spirit told him to go. See, that's why I said, if you will believe what I said, the Holy Spirit doesn't have to tell me to call you out or lay hands on you. It's you will put a demand on that anointing that you believe is upon me. Or anybody else for that matter. He goes on here, and Jesus arose and followed him, and his disciples did also. And behold, while he's going on the way, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now, why did she do this? Romans 10, 14 through 17. Faith comes by hearing. Somebody, somehow or another, she heard about this anointing on Jesus. Whether she heard it straight from his mouth when he read it, or somebody else had said it, or somebody gave testimony, somehow she heard the word. Why? You cannot have faith for believe for what you cannot hear or do not hear. Somehow she heard it and she believed it. Now let's see what she does. She came and touched his garment, for she said within herself, this is where her faith is, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy what? Faith has made thee whole, and the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, stop here for just a second. Let's think about this. Jesus had not a clue. He's on his way to somewhere, right? He's walking, the crowd is following him. And here comes Jairus with his faith. My daughter's dead, but if you'll come lay her hands on you, I know she'll be healed. She'll live. Jesus turns around. Okay, Jairus. Why? He put a demand on that. He believed it. Now he's on his way with Jairus, and here all of a sudden, here comes this woman that's got the audacity and the faith to believe, he don't even have to know about me, Johnny. But I know if I touch him, that power, that anointing of the Holy Ghost with power is going to come out of him and heal me. So she touched him. Another place, the Bible says, Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And I think it was Peter, which he's usually talking. One of them said, "What do you mean, who touched you? There's a multitude. Everybody's..." He says, "No, somebody touched me with their faith and drug out of me the virtue and the power of the Holy Ghost." This is how we do this today. See, a lot of people try to make out like it's hard to get things out of God. But Jesus stood over... Y'all remember when Jesus was standing there and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." He said, "I would have gathered you under my wings like a hen does her chicks, but you would not." It grieves the heart of God when we will not accept what He's given. Because He loves us so much, He's done it all. And if all we'll do is just believe what He said and act on what He said, bam! Let's see what happened to her. Well, we know she got healed, right? Did Jesus know she was there? Did Jesus speak to her? Did Jesus rebuke the devil? Jesus did nothing but was walking down the road to Jairus' house. Her faith, her belief in that anointing that was upon him. Right? That's all that done it. It says, "And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making noise, he said unto them, 'Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth.' And they laughed him to scorn." They're laughing at him. "But the people, he put them out." Let's go on down. I ain't got time for all this. Oh, yeah. 28. Well, 27. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him." Well, let me go back up to 28. It says, "And he said unto them, 'Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth.' And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose." She rose from the dead, didn't she? Wasn't that exactly what Jairus said? Isn't it exactly what he believed? Paul said, "We believe, therefore we speak." Jairus believed, "Jesus, if you'll just come and lay your hand on her, she'll be healed. She'll live." That's exactly what happened, because he put a demand on that anointing that was upon Jesus. Now, you pick this up here in verse 27. Well, 26, "And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land." Now, everybody's still telling. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, 'Thou Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saying unto them," what did he say? "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Do you believe I'm able to do this? They said, "Yes, Lord." What did he tell them? We got to stop with this. He goes on, "They said unto him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then touched he their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith be it unto you.' And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them not to tell nobody." See, there are those that he was sent to, led by the Holy Spirit. But there are also those that we just read about this morning. They believed that anointing and power was upon him, and they drawed it out by their faith. I don't care who you are or wherever. If you have been anointed by the Holy Ghost and power and people would believe that, there's nothing they can't receive. I got to stop because time is actually a little bit past. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or anything this morning? All right, we'll recess till 11.